Welcome to the Church Awakened podcast, where you get real talk for real church. We are bringing the Great Awakening to the American church and sharing biblical truth to expose false narratives and remove hindrances to effective biblical discipleship. The next great harvest of souls is happening now, so get ready to be the Church Awakened.
Hello, I'm Merrill.
And I'm Russell.
And we are the hosts of the Church Awakened podcast. Each week, we bring you practical, scriptural insight focused on a particular area of church life and ministry.
Evidence-based truth about world events.
And additional resources to awaken and equip you for the next great harvest.
In this episode, we introduce the Church Awakened hosts and explain the purpose behind the Church Awakened podcast. So let's get started.
So we want to start by saying that the Church Awakened podcast is here to give support and encouragement to pastors, congregations, and believers in making biblical changes to the way they walk with God and do ministry. Some of these changes will be subtle, and some of them will seem drastic.
Any change can be difficult, but the next phase of God's activity in the earth requires that we confront our wrong thinking and ineffective methods, and reevaluate the way we reach people and make disciples. We are not here to condemn or criticize, but to bring unity through truth and effectiveness through true change, for the glory of God.
All right, so to give you some insight into who Russell and I are, we're going to share our background with you in the form of answering four different questions. And the first question, and I'm going to let Russell go first, is, Russell, where are you from? How did you come to know the Lord? And what is your education and or ministry experience?
Awesome. Well, this is Russell, and I was born and raised in Michigan, then had the blessing of living in Oklahoma, Tennessee, and now here in Florida. First Sunday of my life, I was in church, and from that point on, there was not too many Sundays I missed. I was raised through the non-denominational instrumental Church of Christ. Boy, that's a tongue tie. But, and I found that in life, Church of Christ, there are denominational, non-instrumental. Had no idea.
Yeah, neither did I.
My faith grew early in life, whereby my Bible was my lifeline. Now, I'd love to say being raised in a church-going family and having my childhood and teenage years being blessed experiencing church life, that all was heavenly. And I really learned how to walk with God. And tell you the truth, it was in my early 20s where the foundation I had was tested and the real learning began. I have had planes, trains, and automobile kind of life with God. When I felt Him calling me into somewhere or something, I would pick up and go. I was young when I felt the tug on my heart and that altar call to be baptized. And then later in life, I felt that tug again and was baptized again, this time in the Holy Spirit. I have always had a deep hunger to learn more of the lifestyle of a believer, which then encouraged my passion for learning, and I started out at a Christian college, then graduated from International School of Faith and Rhema Bible Training Center. I have been a truth seeker my entire life. My early years was filled with Sunday school camps, retreats, lock-ins, VBS, which really helped build a solid foundation and helped me build my leadership roles within a church environment. I have helped with many youth ministries as well as assisted pastors with their ministries. I have helped with church planting, building church curriculum, mission statements, setting up retreats, camps, special events, and so much more. Church was in my blood, and I thought I would be a part of the church till the day I was basically called heaven bound. But then God started to show me more and more of what the modern day church was. And I then heard an audible voice simply telling me, it's time to leave. This is when the training took another turn and school was once again in session. I've always had a servant's heart, and the majority of my working career has been basically service-oriented. And I can't help but some way, somehow, be a part of helping people.
All right, so you actually really did grow up in the church then.
Yes.
So, That is a lot different than my experience. I didn't come to know the Lord until later on in life. I was kind of a wild skateboarder. I'm originally from Moab, Utah, and I spent nearly 23 years in the U.S. Air Force until I retired in 2012. So, but Jesus invaded my life in 1992 in New Life Assembly, on our Boger Road in Linda, California, when I was a young airman stationed at Beale Air Force Base. It was one service during an altar call, and the I remember sitting in this pew and hearing the pastor beginning this altar call, and he said, "There's a young man in here who needs to give his life to Christ," and I just felt this tugging on my chest. And I couldn't resist it. And I made an excuse in my mind to why I needed to be up at that altar. And so I went up there, and man, I walked right past everybody and went directly down to my knees. And down at the altar, you know, they used to have those old wooden altars at the front of the church where people would go to pray. But I went right down to the altar and closed my eyes. And it was just like suddenly there was this reality that God was real. And it was just faith entered my heart. And when I got up from that altar, I felt like a huge weight had been lifted off of me. And I have never been the same since. I really didn't know what had happened to me. But from that moment, the one thing I did know was that I wanted to live for God. Amen. And then about 2 years later, I was reassigned to Yokota Air Base, Japan, where I began attending an Assemblies of God Servicemen's Church. And that's when ministry really took off. I felt from the very beginning of my walk with God that I was destined for some kind of ministry. And I always felt it was some kind of a pastoral type ministry. And so when we got to Japan, I got involved with this church and right away was asked to take on the youth ministry. And so the Lord blessed us, and we grew that youth ministry from about 6 or 7 kids to about 20 or so, and had a good time doing that. But I passed that off to somebody else, and I later became the assistant Sunday school teacher for the adult Sunday school class. It was a small church. We had one class for adults, and eventually moved into being the full-time only adult Sunday school class teacher, and that was my thing for about 6 years. And then towards the end of my time before we left Japan, I moved into the role. I was still teaching Sunday school for the adults, but I was also the church's prayer ministry coordinator because I really had a heart for prayer. And also during that time in Japan, I was in charge of the men's ministry. So did a variety of things in addition to preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays when the pastor wanted a break or felt like he wanted to give somebody else an opportunity to preach. And then I was invited to be a board member for the local International Women's Aglow chapter. And then I received invitations from other churches to preach for their pastors. It was a really growing time of ministry for me in Japan, where I got a lot of great experience. So then I also have a bachelor's degree in business and Christian counseling from Liberty University, as well as a master's degree in Christian ministry from Liberty University also. So that's a little bit about my church background and ministry experience.
So you really jumped into learning all about God through ministry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was 7 years of Monday through Sunday thinking about preparing sermons, building Sunday school lessons. Most of the time I was up at 3 a.m. in the morning finishing off my Sunday school lessons that I was getting ready to teach in about 4 hours. Yep. So early mornings with coffee and the Bible and
precious moments
and notepads. Yeah, exactly. So, but a lot of growth happened during that time.
Amen.
So Russell, question number two, we're going to move on. And you can really tell a lot about a person by the people who have influenced them the most.
Right.
So who are three people who had the biggest influence on your walk with God and why?
I love this question. This question was great because I was like, oh man, which direction do I end up going? Because again, when I say that the Bible was my lifeline, it was. That was probably one of the very first books that I can remember reading from cover to cover. I was in love with God. I was in love with the story of mankind, and Moses was always my favorite and has always been my favorite. But when it comes to influencers, with real life people, This is going to shock my family, but it was my father. He was a man that was through, I know my dad. He was a man of flaws. He is a man of making mistakes. But one thing that I always saw this man do was always stay focused on his relationship with God. And he challenged me often that it was important for me to always be there at church, that that was going to be the foundation of my life, that when the hard times came, that was going to be the place that I could find answers and find refuge. And so I saw it through him every single day. And so he was a huge part of just the man that I am today when it comes to the passion and the hunger of a function of a church. The second biggest influencer of my life simply is Eric Christian. That man, he was a senior at Great Lakes Christian College, and at that time it was Great Lakes Bible College, and I was a freshman at Great Lakes Bible College. Later on, they changed to a Christian college. And during the time of my life where I barely had any faith in myself, he did. He welcomed me into his home and his youth ministry, whereby we had, I'm telling you, the best couple years leading young minds and hearts along an amazing journey and learning what it is to be a Christian, to have and grow in a relationship with our Trinity. And what it takes is enduring and flourishing within this relationship. I mean, he taught me so much, but he also allowed me to teach. And in that moment, in that time, it really solidified that foundation that I ended up having. He was absolutely pivotal in my growth. He gave me a voice in leadership during a time I didn't think I had one and could lead. He assured me that I had always had a voice and I always was leading. He gave me the freedom to express God's love my way. It wasn't a cookie cut way. My way of loving people is definitely unique. You know, Isaiah talks about being peculiar. I'm a bit peculiar when it comes to, because I meet people where they're at. I love them unconditionally. They see it, they feel it, and it's quite awesome. And he's always saw that in my life, and he always would challenge me, do you? So, he was the right teacher for the right time in my life. And for the third influencer, I would have to say Pastor Stephen Schlebach. He absolutely blew my mind by showing me the power of God. I've always read about it. I've read many books about amazing men and women of their faith. But this man literally showed me the power of God in action and brought me along. This man brought me along to many of his places where he pastored, where he ministered. And he really taught me that healing is still for today. It's not something that is just words on a page. These are words in action. And you just got to be able to believe and do. Make yourself open, accessible, and be that conduit spirit. And in doing so, watch God work. He challenged me in ways I needed to, meaning that I needed to grow up and do and be. He showed me and then expected me to do and be. I'm so grateful to him that he showed me what healing's all about. He showed me that prophetic words still exist and still need to be spoken to this day. He is a man that showed me the importance of the spirits of excellence. He showed me that the importance of being a man of integrity. He showed me that it was important for me to not just be a person to read things, but to be things. And I cannot stress that enough. In today's world, we are watching too many people wanting to look good, sound good, but not to be good. So this man has been another pillar of an amazing, awesome influencer that has challenged me to be able to daily walk out my walk with God, with reality, with truth.
Okay. And so it sounds like, and again, we're going to have another difference of experiences here. You were, mm-hmm. seems like you're influenced by people that you were connected with personally, mm-hmm. that you personally interacted with.
Absolutely.
Now, My story is a little bit different in that, although there have been many people that have influenced my walk with God, the people that have had the biggest impact have been ministers and ministries that don't know me personally. So it's a little bit different. If I had to list the top three people who've had the greatest impact on my walk with God, the ones that have been a part of a significant period of spiritual growth for me, I'd have to say the first one really was Neil Anderson. And he has a book called Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker. And I actually happened to teach those courses to my adult Sunday school class in Japan. And Victory Over the Darkness just blew us away. I remember one of my students, a man that was older than me and older in the faith than me, he said, "Merrill, if I had learned that 20 years ago, what you're teaching now, it would have saved me so many problems." But Neil Anderson, his book, his course, Victory Over the Darkness, really helped me understand my authority as a believer and who I am in Christ. I remember as a young believer struggling with a lot of guilt, just it was that guilt that didn't seem to have a source. Like I couldn't point to anything that I had done wrong. It was just that sense of guilt. And when I remember being in prayer one time, taking what I had learned from Neil Anderson and speaking to that spirit of guilt, like it was an external enemy at me and not something on the inside of me. And I commanded that guilt to leave me, and it did. And it just revolutionized my walk with God completely. The awesome. Guilt was gone, and there was no more questioning. God, I need you to give me some assurance that I'm saved. You know, it was no more of that.
Right.
And that guilt was just gone. So, and then just learning the authority that we have in the spiritual realm just really, really revolutionized my walk with God. And then the second person that I have to point to is Ray Comfort. Now, I know a lot of people are going to listen to this, and they're going to be very familiar with Ray Comfort and his ministry with Kirk Cameron, Living Waters, and as Excellence in Evangelism. But Ray is an evangelist from New Zealand who, I think back in the 90s, moved over to the States and began teaching pastors and churches how to actually evangelize biblically. And I discovered Ray when I was reading through Christian magazines, because over in Japan, if you wanted an American magazine, you had to get a subscription and get everything by mail. But in the back section of one of these Christian magazines where you have all the little advertisements, I saw one that said Hell's Best Kept Secret by Ray Comfort. Request your copy for free. And so I did, and this little cassette tape showed up, said Hell's Best Kept Secret. And listening to that, it just blew me away. It helped me to realize, wow, this is how you talk to sinners. This is how you share the gospel with them. You have to use the law to convince them that they're guilty of sin and to show them what sin is. And then give them grace so that it makes sense. And because I ran across a lot of people in the Air Force, a lot of young guys who would say, I just got promoted. I'm making plenty of money. I got a nice girlfriend, got a hot car. I'm totally happy. What do I need God for? And I'm like, I have no idea, I guess, because the church teaches that the gospel is for people who have all kinds of problems and are hurting and are broken. But I met every day a lot of people who weren't hurting and broken. They were enjoying life. Right. But Ray showed me that how to properly share the gospel with people. And I actually emailed Ray and asked him. He may never hear this. He may never remember. But I actually emailed him and to get his permission to transcribe his audio tape into written form and then share it with my Sunday school class. And then I also took one of his old Titanic tracks, gospel tracks, and had it translated into Japanese. He doesn't know this, but I had it translated into Japanese, and we used to pass them out at the turnstiles as people, as the Japanese people were coming off the trains.
That's awesome.
At the train stations. Yeah, it was pretty cool. That's awesome. So Ray Comfort really revolutionized my way of thinking about how to reach lost people. And then the next person would happen to be Kenneth Copeland. Wow. And not because I met him personally, which I have, although he probably wouldn't know me because I worked at Kenneth Copeland Ministries for a short period of time. I had no idea for 20 some years as a believer that I really didn't even know what faith is or how it worked.
Right.
Or how to use faith to make things happen. Yeah. And man, I just dove into into that teaching, and there had been some controversy. He's a controversial figure in some sure. circles, but I said, God, if this is real, I'm going to go all in. So you better let me know.
Yeah.
And man, I jumped all in, and man, I learned what faith was, and I got to a point where I had to try to doubt God,
right?
Because I just couldn't do it.
Right.
But I learned what faith was, what it meant to walk in by faith. And because faith is involved in everything mm-hmm. that has to do with walking with God and serving Him.
Sure.
And it wasn't just that idea of faith. It was the way Kenneth Copeland teaches. It was like, it was more of an impartation of revelation than just somebody giving me information.
Right.
It would go down in my spirit. And I would begin to have these revelations and insights and understanding from the Word. Mm-hmm. So that type of teaching. So Kenneth Copeland definitely had an impact on me there. So that's three. But I have to mention one more because he's the most recent, and that would be Amos Johnson Jr. Mm-hmm. I stumbled across his podcast, and his content was so unique, and it was just what I needed to help me with my calling as an entrepreneur. Because when I thought I was headed for ministry, God showed me that I was headed for business. Hmm. And the stuff that Amos Johnson was teaching was exactly what I needed to hear for a certain period of time to lift my faith as an entrepreneur and trust God to believe me, to trust God for my businesses. Hmm. And but also the unconventional nature of some of his teaching really helped me to see that there really are others out there who teach biblical concepts that are contrary to what we've typically heard in the church.
Right.
And we've just gotten some things wrong in the church, and it's okay to ask, does the Bible really teach that, or does it say something else?
Right.
So he let me know it's okay to question and even teach things that are contrary to what the church generally teaches.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people that have influenced me the most.
Exciting about this and hearing our stories is I'm seeing that you say influencers, we had to take ownership.
Yeah.
And when we took ownership based upon what these influencers were sharing to us, our lives had to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, for the most part, always would change for the better, because that's what God is. He's just a better, he's our creator. Yeah. He created all things. He created us. So when we pursued him with ownership, with a different kind of mindset, again, words not on a page, but words in action, things happened. And this gets me excited.
Yeah.
I love our journey. We're two polar opposite kind of journeys, but we're still on the same mountain.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
Our experiences might be different, but we're still going after the same thing. So
that's right. That's right. All right. So the third question is, when was your red pill moment and what was the process that woke you up? Now, before we jump into mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. I want to explain there may still be pastors and other believers out there who don't know what the term red pill means.
Right.
Can you tell us where that comes from, Russell?
Matrix.
From the Matrix. Absolutely. Okay. The Matrix movie, the blue pill, yep. the red pill.
Yep.
You take the blue pill, you get to stay asleep. Mm-hmm. You take the red pill, you get to wake up and come into reality.
Right.
So that when you hear that, pastors out on the internet, when somebody talks about they've been red-pilled, that's what it means. They've woken up to the to what's really going on in the world. Mm. All right, so what was your red pill moment, Russell?
I feel spoiled. I'm not going to lie. Because I see a lot of these people that are waking up now, and they're older. My red pill was sitting around on the floor at my grandma and grandpa's house in South Bend, Indiana, where my grandparents and my parents and my aunt and uncles were around the table, and they were sharing their experiences of life and the knowledge that they had. Military family. So they were all part of the military family. And they always had a conspiracy of something. And they are all hungry for, I hate to say it, religion, because my Uncle Scott, you know, was a practicing Jew. And so I got to be able to learn what that was all about. Other ones were Church of Christ. Other one were, I got to be able to have a wide range of religious experiences, and they all had something about the TV's not telling us the truth. The media is not telling us the truth. And I've heard this since I was a kid. So I've always questioned everything. It got to a point where a lot of the leaders would just get tired of me because I would hear what they have to say. But then I read between the lines. And I was watching their actions, and I was just like, something's off here. Something's amiss. And then 2020 hit, and it became apparent that the influencers behind the curtain, they do not have our best interests at heart.
And they all came up from behind the curtain.
They sure have. I mean, the Wizard of Oz has taken on a different, I thought it was just like a fun-filled movie. It isn't. I mean, you got the Tin Man, Lion, Scarecrow, Dorothy the Witch, the Munchkins, the Yellow Brick Road. But at the end, you got the man behind the curtain. And right now, we are literally having that curtain ripped open and that man coming out with this boldness, this arrogance. And we're seeing it. And if you're not seeing it, Meryl, yeah. I don't know what to say or do those people. But it's apparent that there is something that's amiss and we need to get it right.
Okay, so you took the red pill early on in life, and you just kind of grew up with it.
Yeah, I grew up with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's easy to see and spot for myself, and it tends to grind me when I don't see other people see it.
Oh yeah, of course. So again, another polar opposite is I was just like everybody else. I grew up under the media narrative, mm-hmm. and just believing that how I was being told it was.
Yeah.
And I really didn't question anything. And I was just like everybody else. I was focused on the things that had to do with my life. You know, I'd get up each day and it was me going to work, me spending time with my own family, me watching my favorite television shows and enjoying my hobbies and not even really paying much attention as to what was going on around the world. But I've always been pretty open to alternative ideas. I wasn't closed off. But for me, the 2020 election was my real red pilling began to happen. The 2020 election was stolen, and I knew it was stolen. I knew something fishy was happening. The night they called Arizona for Joe Biden with only 1% of the votes in.
Wow.
I knew something fishy was going on. So that
1%.
Yeah. So then I began to say, okay, wait, there's something going on here. And then I read G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, about the world monetary system.
Mm.
And if you want to read an eye-opening book that will help you see history is not what you thought it was, that the things going on in the world today are not what you think they are. They don't happen for the reasons you think they happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to read that book and understand the world banking system and how it has been responsible for so many things in history and even now. But
privately owned.
Yeah, exactly. Privately owned. And I think it was that book really kind of helped push me over the edge. And then I started investigating all kinds of stuff and started doing my research and started looking at alternative sources of media. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like all in. Now I'm just like, Yeah, you know, I'm where you are now. Finally, I caught up, and I'm questioning everything. Mm-hmm. And now I don't settle on something unless I've got some evidence or some right. proof. I don't make decisions based on hearsay. But I've woken up to the fact that the world is not all that I thought it was. So those two things helped me to see that there is more going on in this world behind the scenes than we realize, and it really is evil.
Yeah.
You know, and it just really emphasized the fact that Satan really is the god of this world.
Sure is.
And he's very active through his human agents.
Yeah.
And
minions.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's undeniable that every area of our society has been corrupted in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the whole world is now waking up to this reality.
Praise God.
Yeah. So, all right. So last question, can you describe your experience with church life and ministry that helped you see the need for something like the Church Awakened podcast?
Hmm. Over my years of growing up and through the function of the church, I have seen there are so many amazing reasons to have a local place to gather with like-minded souls, to learn and express and share the journey with our Creator. I have seen that people need people. We need personal connections, fellowship, support. We need challenges, stretching, and place to learn and teach. Yet over the years, I have seen church change. And once that was what was important has taken a back seat. The seeker-friendly, uber-tolerant, and watered-down messages has hurt the growth of the body of believers. It has become another fancy club where God is talked about yet not experienced, where Christ is talked about yet not understood, where Holy Spirit is mentioned yet not felt or heard. Yes, I see that the time of God said it is... I can understand why that when God said it's time to leave, why he said what he had to say, because the church got off course bad. It became more about the pastor. It became more about the programs. It became more about what the name of the church is doing within the community. It was about, I hate to say it, the brick and mortar of the structure, the organization of the church. It was not about the fellowship of the fellowship with God and the intimate personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. We lost our way, and it's vitally important that we get back on course and we really start to redefine what church is and who church is for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you really nailed it when you said that it's like we're going to church, but we're not experiencing God.
Right.
Like you said, we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we don't experience the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So, yeah, you're absolutely, absolutely right. And for me, I've always been a school of ministry, a student of ministry, not a school.
Right, right.
That'd be pretty tough to do.
Yeah, I know.
But I've always been a student of ministry, and that is, I've always liked to look and watch how church is operating, mm-hmm. How ministries are doing what they do, and mm-hmm. the message they're putting out, and how they're putting out the message, and what, and I see what's biblical and what isn't, what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. Right. And what I've noticed over the years is that there are just a lot of inconsistencies between what the church believes and what the church does.
Right.
There's differences in how the early church operated and how modern assemblies of believers operate. I've watched the church change its methods and ways, mm-hmm. and not always for the better.
Right, right.
You mentioned the whole seeker-sensitive thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of problems, while it may seem loving, but there's a lot of problems with that belief sure. system. And I've always watched the church, and as part of my master's program, I took a class on discipleship. And I read this book by George Barna, and he gives a lot of statistics about the state of the modern church and modern believers and discipleship. And I was blown away by some of this. You know, there was a large percentage of believers who don't even believe that Jesus is God. Wow. That he's divine. And these are people going to church every week.
Wow.
And wow. Just that and a whole lot of other statistics basic. That show that the church really is in a horrible state.
Yep.
And we don't know our Bibles. And the problem is unfortunately, a lot of times our pastors and leadership don't know that their people don't know their Bibles. So going through that class and reading those statistics just helped me to see that the modern church is just not in shape. And those statistics actually confirmed some of the things that I was seeing in the church.
Right.
And then it really hit me over the last couple of years with this whole COVID mess.
Come on now.
As I noticed that right away, it was churches that jumped on board
right.
with the mask mandates, pushing the vaccines, right. shutting their doors, putting people on Zoom, having services by Zoom call, Facebook mm-hmm. Live, whatever. And I thought, why is it the church, the first, the ones that seem to be the most compliant with mm-hmm. government mandates?
Mm-hmm.
And
they had every opportunity.
Exactly. And the whole mess was really, there was an attack against the church. Mm. Yeah, you know, the bars could stay yeah. open, the yeah. liquor stores could stay open, yeah. but the churches couldn't stay open.
Right.
And
right.
the churches
Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wally the churches, World. Yeah. yeah, they felt like they were doing their civic duty by following along.
Complying.
Yeah, and complying.
Yeah.
And so.
Can you see Jesus comply?
Yeah.
Can
yeah,
you see no. God comply?
So, you yeah. know, pastors and their congregations didn't even question what civic leaders were telling them to do.
Right.
And pastors who don't know the reality of what's happening in the world will lead their congregations in the wrong direction, often in compliance, even with a satanic agenda.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it.
Don't even know it.
And so I realized that we've got to wake up pastors and believers mm-hmm. by showing them what is actually happening in the world that they aren't going to see in the mainstream news.
Right.
And which many of them are still watching.
Yeah,
you got pastors who are still watching MSNBC,
right. Right.
NBC, Fox News.
Right.
These organizations that are nothing but propaganda.
Right.
And then help churches get back to the biblical ways of making disciples. You know, the Church Awakened podcast was born out of that revelation. Mm. So we're not trying to get the church to do some new modern way of doing ministry. We want to help the church get back to doing things the biblical way,
right?
The scriptural way,
right?
So that's why I'm a part of the Church Awakened podcast.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting. This is just the beginning. It's the challenge with this. I mean, it's awesome that we have these four questions to give our audience an opportunity to be able to learn who we are. And this is just a microcosm. I mean, yeah. You really can't tell who I really am based upon those four questions, but it gives you a little bit of a foundation. Same thing with Merrill. We are complex beings, but yeah. Our hunger is for you. Our passion, the reason why we're putting this podcast together is to hopefully convey the passion that we have of our relationship with our Heavenly Father to you. Because that's where it starts. When we get our Heavenly Father relationship right, I'm telling you, every single time, it'll level everything out. It'll make everything right. You will find your way back to a church. And when I say a church, just finding yourself with other like-minded people, journeying through this world, hungering for what? Answers, love, with their Heavenly Father. That void is that. It's that. We're missing a relationship. And that relationship was with your Heavenly Father, the creator of all things.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are, and this is may surprise some people that are listening to us, some pastors that are listening to us, but there are multitudes of believers mm-hmm. that are just not happy with church.
Right.
Where they're attending week after week after week, and they're literally getting nothing out of it.
Right.
There's no experience of God in our worship. The sermons that we're being given are of such poor quality that they just don't impart any kind of revelation to people. And I know that's hard to hear, mm-hmm. but it's the reality. And it's the reality that I've experienced since I came back from Japan. It's been extremely difficult to connect with a church, because we go from week after week after week, and there's just no reality of the presence of God, and there's just no revelation coming from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And Jesus meant for us to experience the presence and power of God, not, oh, look at this, I got the front parking spot at Walmart. Power of God, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Favor. Yeah. I got favor of God.
Favor of God, power
yeah.
of God.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, that's where it starts, Meryl.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people that are going to listen to this podcast, and they're going to be saying, yes, I agree with that. They know that hunger for the reality of the presence of God, and they don't... You know, I can experience that alone, mm-hmm. but I don't want to experience it alone, because I was never meant to experience it alone. Mm-hmm. We're members of the body. Mm-hmm. So we want to show the body how to come together, how to experience the presence and power of God in their midst, and get revelation from their teachers and pastors, and then go out of the church and be a light to the world and bring in the harvest that we believe is that God is bringing to the earth. This is just an unprecedented time right now in human history.
It is.
So many prophetic voices, and we're going to share some of these with you in the podcasts that are coming. Prophetic voices are just seeing a great harvest on the horizon, and this may be the last great global harvest before Jesus returns. And we cannot keep doing church as usual if we're going to be a part of what God is doing. Right. So now that you know who we are and why we do this podcast, we hope you'll continue to join us every week on this journey to awaken and equip pastors, churches, and ministries so that they can be a part of the amazing things that God is doing in the earth in this generation.
We encourage you to subscribe to our channel and click the notification icon so you will know when we post new content. Until next time.
You've been listening to Real Talk for Real Church. Now go share what you've learned with others. Seek God diligently about your role in the great harvest. And be the church awakened.